Penguin Audio presents The Fourth Bear by Jasper Ford. Read by Simon Vance.
For my mother. Because the forest will always be there, and anybody who is friendly with bears can find it. A.A. Milne.
Author's Note. The Nursery Crime Division, the Reading Police Department, and the Oxford and Berkshire Constabulary in this book are entirely fictitious, and any similarities to authentic police procedures, protocol, or forensic techniques are entirely coincidental and quite unintentional. The Fourth Bear has been bundled with special features, including the making-of documentary, deleted scenes, and much more. To access all these free bonus features, log on to www.nurserycrime.co.uk/special/js2.html and enter the code word as directed.
Chapter 1. A Death in Obscurity.
Last known regional postcode allocation. Obscurity, Berkshire. Population 35. Spotted by an eagle-eyed official and allocated in April 1987, the postcode allocation RD7393ZZ was a matter of such import amongst the residents of this small village that a modest ceremony and street party were arranged. A bronze plaque was inscribed and affixed below another plaque that commemorated the only other event of note in living memory— the momentous occasion when Douglas Fairbanks Sr. became hopelessly lost in 1928 and had to stop at the village shop to ask for directions. The Bumper Book of Berkshire Records, 2004 edition.
The little village of obscurity is remarkable only for its unremarkableness. Passed over for inclusion into almost every publication from the Doomsday Book to 30 places not worth visiting in Berkshire, the hamlet is also a cartographic omission, an honour it shares with the neighbouring villages of Hiding and Cognito. Indeed, the status of obscurity was once thought so tenuous that some of the more philosophically inclined residents considered the possibility that since the village didn't exist, they might not exist either, and hurriedly placed existential question of being on the parish council agenda, where it still resides, after much unresolved discussion, between Church Roof Fund and any other business. It was late summer. A period of good weather had followed on from rain, and the countryside was now enjoying a reinvigoration of colour and scent. The fields and trees were a vibrant green, and the spinneys rich with the sweet bouquet of honeysuckle and dog rose, the hedgerows creamy with cow parsley, and alive with cyclamen. In the isolated splendour of obscurity, the residents enjoyed the season more, as they had fewer people to share it with. Few people came this way, and if they did, they were invariably lost. The Austin Somerset, that pulled up outside a pretty brick-and-thatch cottage on the edge of the village, was not lost. A dapper septuagenarian bounded from the front garden to greet the only occupant, an attractive woman of slender build in her late 20s.
"Welcome to obscurity, Miss Hatchet," he intoned politely. "Were you lost for long?"
"Barely an hour," she replied, shaking his outstretched hand. "It's very good of you to talk to me, Mr. Cripps."
"The gravity of the situation is too serious to remain unremarked forever," he replied somberly.
She nodded, and the sprightly pensioner invited her into the garden and guided her to a shady spot under an apple tree. She settled herself on the bench and tied up her long, blonde, curly tresses. These were her most identifiable feature, one that in the past had made her the subject of a certain amount of teasing, but these days she didn't much care.
"Call me Goldilocks," she said with a smile,
as she caught Stanley Cripps staring at her remarkably luxuriant hair.
"Everyone else does."
Cripps returned her smile and offered her a glass of lemonade.
"Then you must call me Stanley. I say, you're not THE Goldilocks, are you? We have so few celebrities."
Sample complete. Ready to continue?